السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, now the school holidays already begin and we have our children, our teenagers at home messing around and you know making us mad and crazy. And now a lot of problems at home. We don't know how to handle and control in today's children. It's very hard and very difficult in this environment, in this society. We all are Muslims, Alhamdulillah. And we have this faith and conviction that one day we are going to die and we have to be present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have to give the hisab of our whole life. As a parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed some responsibilities upon us. It is said that children are gift, is a bundle of joy. Those people who get married and they don't have children and deprive of it, ask them how much they are suffering and trying and making an effort to have the child so their progeny can continue. We, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has gifted us with this great ni'mah and bounty in the form of children. But remember, every bounty, every ni'mah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us, there is some responsibility connected to it. So we are enjoying the bounty, but we are forgetting our responsibility. Here in this verse of the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned the parents, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O who you believe, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran. Protect yourself and your children, your progeny, from the hellfire. Wa quduha an-nas wal hijara, the eden and the fuel of the fire is the human being and jinn. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, or some sahaba radiallahu anhu, when this ayat was revealed and they heard first time from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were amazed, they were shocked. And they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked this question and concern that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding and ordering us to protect ourselves and our progeny as well from the hellfire. We do understand how we can protect ourselves from the hellfire. But we don't understand, we don't get it, how we can protect our progeny, our children. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained them, it means that upbring them in the right manner and teach them the Sharia from the beginning. In this manner, you will be able to protect them from the hellfire. Put them onto the right track. supervise them, discipline them. And most of the parents are lacking in this regard. And my brothers and sisters, we are living in this very advanced era of technology and science. According to one report, 95% of children use internet, 95, from the age of 5 and 6. 78% have cell phones. Even 1 year, 2 year child have cell phone and gadget in his hand. 74% have access to internet on their cell phones. They don't even have to go to the computer. Everything now available on their palms. You cannot take away from them, even the small child, if you take away the cell phone or mobile from his hand, start crying, restless. No? No sound? Oh my goodness. You know, blue right? Can I repeat again? What I said? So, I was saying that according to one report, 95% of children use internet, 78% have the cell phones, 74% have access to the internet on their cell phones, and you cannot take away from them, they become very restless and angry and upset. But now you have to engage with them and spend quality time with them and discuss with them what is harms and benefit of the cell phones and devices and internet. Today's children don't talk looking in your eyes, you know, because always they are busy playing their games, you know. So when you talk to them, they don't look into your eyes. They're always looking down. And if you ask them anything, their answer is very short. Yes, no, okay. They don't continue discussion. They are very quiet, they're very silent, and this is the dilemma. This is the problem. In olden days, we used to have long, lengthy conversation with our parents in a nice way and jokingly and all these things. Today's children, they don't talk to the parents. They're very quiet. When you are driving, you know, with you, the kids are sitting next to you or behind. They just don't talk, silent all the way, half an hour, 1 hour drive. Not a single word. No conversation is taking place between the parents and the children in today's time. So, their answer is very short. You have to make a rule at the dinner table that there is no device should be, every phone should be switched off, and have the family conversation. To upbring the children, husband and wife, this is also one of the very important and essential point we all have to notice. To upbring the children, husband and wife's relationships should be very good. Because both are responsible to upbring them. Both have duty and responsibility together to upbring the children. So, first of all, they should have a very good relationship amongst themselves. If they fight and quarrel in front of the children, it has very bad reflection upon them. Father is always shouting the mother, and they are listening, they are scared. Or mother is saying bad about the father, your father is like this, he's not giving us this, he's complaining about him, and you know, pretending him, he is a very bad person. So childhood is very innocent time. So all those what they are hearing from the mother, they are believing in that. Yes, my dad is like this. And when they grow up, the back of the mind, they have all those things, you know. So they're not going to respect the dad, because mother told us and taught us father is not a good person. So it is very, very essential that we should not fight and argue in front of our children. If you want to fight, take your wife for the shopping without children, and then you can fight and quarrel in the car. No one is hearing you. Your glasses are up. Then shout and fight. When the shopping center comes, be quiet again. This is the right way to express your anger. Try to follow it. An American Academy of Pediatrics suggests the time allotted should be under the 30 to 60 minutes per day. Only half an hour or 1 hour maximum in the school days, and 2 hours on holidays. So keep this rule, principle in your mind. You must allow your children to play the games for 2 hours, for whole day. After 2 hours, they have to switch off. For the kids of 6 years, this is the applying to the 6 to 10 years old kids. One of the PhD expert of the children, Nancy, has mentioned in her book, Pause and Reset. Pause and Reset. This is the name of the book. She says, kids of all ages need limits on their gadget. Parents should know and approve which kind of games kids can play. Most of the parents, 80 to 90%, they don't even know the names of the games because they are not interested. They are busy in their work. When they come home, they are very tired, exhausted. They don't know which kind of games kids are playing. They don't even know. So we have to know as a parents which kind of games are available on internet, and avoid any kind of games which have graphic violence or sexual things. Even in the comics nowadays, they have the sexual activities. Even in the comics, small little child, 3-4 years old, is playing without knowing that what is he saying, what is he listening. Check the web history on your child's computer or cell phone. Where is the browsing? What website or link is going? It is our responsibility. And someday in the week, especially Saturday or Sunday in weekend, should be the game-free day. All 6 days you can play, 1 day out of a week, game-free day. Meaning from the morning till evening, you're not going to touch the phone or computer. And involve them in some physical activities. Involve them with you to clean, cut the grass, front yard, backyard, or take them out to visit some relatives, or spend time outside. So one whole day, they should not touch cell phone or internet. 50% of the teenagers, they feel addicted to their devices, cell phone, computer, iPad, etc. So my brothers and sisters, these are the some numbers for us to realize in which era we are living in. Now, Islam is teaching us how to upbring our children. If you follow all these principles, inshallah, our children will be in a good environment. And the best example for us, my brothers and sisters, in every aspect and avenue of our life is the lifestyle of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you study the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll find as busy he was Rasul of Allah, very great responsibility upon his shoulders, you know, to invite the people, the whole ummah, towards one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day and night he was engaged and involved meeting the delegations and kuffar and mushrikin, explaining them revelation of the Holy Quran, teaching the Sahaba radiallahu anhum the Sharia, all these things, activities from morning till evening. He was a very busy person. Yet he used to take out some time to spend with the children. Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala was very young, 8 to 9 years old, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. His mother brought her son. I said, Ya Rasulullah, everybody is giving you a gift as you are our guest in Medina Munawwara. I am a poor lady. I don't have anything to present in front of you. I have this, my son. Take him as your gift or use him as your servant. So, Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala was in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years, 10 solid years. Day and night, he used to do the housework, buying or getting something from the market or whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to instruct him, he used to do it. So he said, I spent 10 years in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not a single day my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shouted me that I told you to do this thing, why you never did it? Or why you did this thing, I told you not to do it. You know, kids do, whether positively or negatively, if you instruct them to do something, they are very playful, they forget or they don't pay attention, and they don't do that work or instruction which given by you, and you get mad on them. I told you to do, I told you to bring this thing, you're not listening to me, you're disobeying me, this and that. You express your anger upon them immediately. Or if they do something which you prohibited and told them not to do it, they're still doing it. Then you get mad. You're not listening to me. You express your anger. So here Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala said, 10 years I spent with my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not a single day it happened that if I did something wrong, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rebuked me, or if I not listen to him for bringing something, and he got mad on me. Not a single time. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. He is narrating this hadith also. And he said, oh Anas, go get something from that certain sahabi's house. And that was his responsibility. He was a servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was playing with some other kids. He didn't understand that in front of me is Rasul of Allah, and I cannot disobey him. He was a small child. His interest was to play with some other kids. That was his age. So he's playing with the kids, and Rasulullah instructed him or telling him to go and do something for him. And while he was playing with the kids, he said, no, I'm not going to go. And he continued playing. Rasulullah did not get mad on him. That how dare you are? You are my servant. I am telling you to do this thing. You're not listening to me. Get out from my house. Or any punishment. No. Rasulullah smiled at him and he went away. Because Rasulullah knew that right now his interest is in that playing, in that playing game. Let him enjoy a little bit according to his wish and desire. So sometimes we have to think in this regard. So then after a while, Rasulullah came back again and said, oh Anas, can you go and get this something for? Immediately he left the play and he ran. Because now his interest was done. He did play a little while. And now he realized that Rasulullah came second time and is instructing me to do something, is my responsibility to respond. And he went away immediately. And he did that work. So sometimes, if our kids are not listening, maybe they are engaged or their mindset is involved in something, be patient. Give them little time and then tell them again, inshallah, they will obey and they will. There are so many incidents like that. So there are some principles. I don't have much of time. Very quickly, I go through. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Don't raise your children the way your parents have raised you, because your parents' technique will not be suitable for today's time and era. Remember, when we were young, we were back home, right? And the way our parents used to be strict, corporal punishment. We used to get hiding at home and at school also. Parents used to take the child of 5-6 years, first grade, second grade, to the teacher and used to say, "Sir, this is my son or daughter. Now you can do whatever you want to do with him. Just don't break his bones. You can hit him as much you want, but don't break the bones." And if teacher used to, you know, hit the child for not doing the work or whatever, you know, and used to cry and come to home to complain about teacher that today he hit me or she hit me. Here the parent used to hit him again. "You must have done something wrong, that's why your teacher got mad on you." Never used to listen or do any favor to the child. That's how we are brought in our childhood. That was the environment, that was the time back home 20, 30, 40 years ago. If you want to apply that same technique in today's time, corporal punishment is not allowed. Not at school, not at home. If you take your child to the kindergarten at the age of 4 or 5 years old, the first lesson a teacher is teaching him or her how to dial 911. First lesson. That because they feel this is very important. If something goes wrong with the child, he must be able to dial police 911 immediately. And sometimes the teacher asks, "Is your dad shouted you? Is your mom shouted you? Is mom hit you at home?" An innocent child sometimes say yes. And then parents be in trouble. You know? Sometimes if something goes wrong at home, a child already learned this lesson that I know this 3 number, it can be protected, I can be safe from the punishment of my parents, and they do dial 911. Police come to the house and they do arrest the parents. It happens. So in today's time, the technique which our parents use upon us to discipline us in today's time, in this environment, is not going to work out. So we have to apply the rules and regulations of today's time. Number one point, in Islamic perspective, there is no teenager, whether you are a child or an adult. Teenagers are on the side of the adults. This category of teenagers is not in Islam. Once child becomes baligh at the age of 13 or 14, he turns into adulthood directly. And all the rules of the Sharia will apply to him. He is answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his actions, not to the parents. And he has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he does not practice the Islam. So here we have to understand, if your child, that's why in one of the hadiths Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, Muru sibyanukum bisalat. That when a child is 7 years old, encourage them, admonish them, advise them to practice the salah, but don't hit them. Don't do any punishment if they don't pray salah, because the age of 7 is not appropriate for them to be harsh and hard upon this practice, because salat is not wajib upon them yet. And after 3 years of admonishing and advising, you know, now and then, sometimes they pray, sometimes they don't pray, continue like that. After 10 years, they are a little mature. Now they are going to become baligh within 2 years. So now you become little strict upon them. So in this regard, we have to understand, we have to upbring them and discipline them according to their age, according to their mindset. Now, when they become baligh, it's not responsibility of the parents now. We have to inculcate in their minds, in their hearts, that now you are baligh, you are adult, now you are responsible for your actions. And you have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all the practices and rules and regulations. If you don't apply, then parents are not answerable, but rather parents are not answerable, rather they have to pay the hisab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one point we have to inculcate in their hearts. Second point, when a child becomes an adult, then parents don't have to micromanage every action of the son or the daughter. Don't, you know, like bother them all the time. Some give them some space, some privacy, some freedom to make decision for their life. Let them take responsibility for their act. Let them make a mistake and learn from it. Let them regret for losing and failing and remake it. You can supervise and advise them, become their friend, and gain their trust and confidence. We have to gain their trust and confidence. Number three, don't make a primary interaction with your young adult. Don't get angry at their wrong doing or mistake. Have a conversation in a healthy environment. Discuss the pros and cons on the topic or in incident, and don't be negative. So this is one of the very important point, that if they make some mistakes, give them little time and let them take this responsibility that I have done wrong, and then you go and try to mix and fix that problems or that mistake which they have done, with a nice conversation and explaining them what is right, what is wrong, what is harmful, what is beneficial, etc. Number four, allow them to make some mistake and learn from it. No one is perfect in this world. Everybody is going to make mistakes. And from that mistake, you're going to learn. So let them do something wrong. Don't get angry. Don't get mad on him. And let him learn the lesson from his mistake, and he will learn from that. When they make a mistake, then you should be there to help them come out from that mess in a good way, to bring them on the right track. But don't condemn them for every mistake. Don't shout them, you did like this, you are not like this. But nicely, you know, accept that they can make a mistake, but there is a way to fix it. Your yelling and shouting and raising your voice will have a negative effect on them. They will hate you. You cannot punish them the way you rebuke your 3 or 4 year child. Now they are adult. They have self-respect, self-dignity. If you are treating your adult teenager, son or daughter, the way you treat your child 3 or 4 years old, it's going to be big difference. You know? So you cannot treat them in the same manner. You have to have the respect and tendency about the adult's children. Allow our life is more comfortable in this country compared to our parents when we were children. So we have more privilege, we have more money and luxury, etc. So don't spoil our children by giving them expensive gadgets and items and toys in their childhood. Let them earn by themselves so they can have a value for it. If you're just going to give them new phone, new iPad, this and that, they will have no value of it. So let them earn this gadget. Tell them, okay, if you do this work, then you will get the car. If you pass your you know, high school, then I'll give buy the car. So let them do some work and earn that items what they need for it. Don't just give them and spoil them. Allow teenagers to be part of the bigger picture. Teach them that now you are adult, you are becoming a man. But don't just regard yourself, you're not alone. This is the whole family. You have parents, you have siblings, you have younger cousins, you have adult uncles and aunts. Everybody has his own rights. So we have to teach them, you're not alone in this picture, because then the whole family is involved with your activities and your behavior. Bring
some role models other than the parents to talk to. Sometimes they don't like, they don't feel comfortable to talk with the parents. They don't want to share their concerns with the parent. They feel shy. So sometimes bring some third person, neutral person, whether it can be imam, community leader, or coordinator of the youth, etc., etc., and let him discuss with him in the free environment. So whatever he cannot be freely discussing with the parents, he can expose or open up with this third neutral person and share his concern and worry about him. And then he can be, you know, sometimes he's bullying at the school or something going on, peer pressure, etc. So that's why sometimes bring someone who can explain him. And most importantly, my brothers and sisters, you should make a lot of dua for our children. Dua of the children, dua of the parents are accepted with regard to the children. So always, Rabbana Hablana Min Azwajina wa Zurriyyatina Qurrata A'yun. There are so many duas in the Holy Quran. You should always make dua for our children. May Allah protect them.